So are you.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you right to start, Carol? Do you need a little moment?
I could urinate, but let's hold on. I'll use it as fuel.
No, no. Do you need to urinate, Carol?
Fuck yeah, I really do.
Okay.
Urinate. Come back.
So basically, we need to amp up the stakes. What could happen when she comes back?
Could she have weed down her leg?
As I was saying, amp up the stakes, I'm like, what could possibly happen? How was that?
I feel great. I didn't notice how many pubes we had on the bathroom floor, though. And I picked up one. I was like, oh, that's gross. And then I was like, well, what about all the others? Are they gross?
Okay. And we're off. Welcome to So Uncouth, a podcast filled with conversations you can't have in polite company. I'm Victoria Hannaford, a recovering journalist. I'm with Caroline Craig and her pubic hair. She's an actor.
Good morning.
And our friend, the mysterious Bunsen burner, who likes to deny her links to the scientific community. But is this a reverse ferret to throw us off the scent of her true identity?
Oh. I don't even know the answer to that question. I'm going to have to think about that and look in a few mirrors and see there's going to be some smoke there. Smoke, mirrors. And pubes.
It's a double cross.
Caroline was not aware of the fact that we were recording when she mentioned the state of her bathroom floor.
Yep. You do like to set traps for me, don't you? Traps for young pubic players.
That was a trap of your own pubic hair making. Anyway, if this is the first time you're joining us, we're three friends. We live in three different cities, so you're joining our weekly catch-up. And we are delighted to have you with us, although you may be questioning your decision to join this pubic-oriented chat.
There's much more, though.
I just wanted to clear up something that may be a mystery to our members of the COOF, which is how you get in contact with us. Because we've missed out the shout-out for the email address in the previous episodes because, you know, we're not professional podcasters. You may be aware of that. Anyway, if you do want to get in touch, it is souncouthpod, or one word, at gmail.com. And that is in our show notes.
But also the reason why you may want to get in touch, apart from to tell us how amazing in particular Bunsen is, but the reason why you might want to get in touch is because if you listened last week, a member of the COOF, someone emailed us a question of etiquette, and these are the kinds of, you know, we can help. That's all we're saying because we know a lot.
Yeah, what is COOF? What is uncouth?
Well, let us be the judge.
I was actually just in a very uncouth situation, and I was desperately scanning the Saturday papers for uncouthery on the street. Let's call it Chapel Street, might have been. Very busy street. And I'm standing there blocking the path, some might say, but I'm just reading a paper when eight massive, super fit, built people came running down the road, all holding free weights, like some of them like 20 kilos in each hand, some with kettlebells, huge arms as big as my head, and just pounding down the pavement. And then I noticed, as I gingerly stepped into the gutter to get out of their way, that they're all over the place. It was actually maybe a hazard. What is couth? Uncouth, I should say. Me standing in the road or these guys wielding their iron?
I actually think they sound like they need rescuing. Like that sounds like a unpleasant cult-like situation. And I think that maybe we need to take it to a higher authority. They need to be liberated. That's not right.
It's overfitness. You think they're being overfitted?
I don't go to CrossFit, but I do go to a gym, which is essentially, it's basically like I'm paying a whole lot of money to go to a PE class, like, and have someone sort of shout at me. There's a lot of people going, harder, harder, you know, anyway, ridiculous situation. But they do utilize the surrounding streets for part of the drills. Like part of the thing that you might have to do is go run around and hold up some massive thing over your head. I never do those bits.
Like some guys are holding like 20 kilos in each hand. And here I'm there with my hot cross buns going, who's right on a Saturday morning?
Sorry, Caroline, it is a simple right-of-way question. I don't know if it's a couth or uncouth, to be quite honest. But one thing in relation to that I did want to ask was, were you reading a broadsheet? Were your arms outstretched extremely wide as you were holding the paper to scan it? Yeah. Because basically, were you just being a footpath hog with the
newspaper? I was. It was like I was in the 1920s and they're in the future.
And this is why I no longer work in newspapers. But I think that there's probably some things that the CrossFitters or whatever cult they're part of are ignoring. And that is that I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have insurance for what they're doing.
Good
I
point.
Would say that like running with 20K weights is a risk to themselves and other members of the community. And I think they should probably just give it a rest.
Okay. Well, I'm no lawyer here. I mean, that has been established, but that will not stop me.
How many weeks of law school did you do?
Two. But okay. That will not stop me. It's two more than you.
She can still advise.
That's right.
I did 2 weeks, really gave me enough qualification to go that it's pretty complicated, the law. But I'll tell you something. So that I know, and that is that you might. We've had discussion before about NDAs.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, what, legal
okay,
chat.
Yeah. Okay, this is our legal corner here. Waiver. That's all I'll say to you. Waiver. Insurance means nothing for those dudes because every single one of those, like Beefcakes, who's carrying around the massive thing and doing whatever it is, poo-pooing the Saturday newspaper, not interested in it, whatever they're doing. Every single one of them for their gym membership will have signed a waiver that says, yes, you can yell at me. Yes, you can push me to the absolute limit. And you can actually even cause me so many injuries that there'll be an adjacent physio who will be getting heaps of business. And I won't be able to sue you or you won't be able to call on your insurance because I signed the waiver.
Yeah, but those waivers also don't mean anything.
I'd like to know your qualifications, Victoria, for that assertion.
Objection, question already answered. Anyway.
All right, Victoria, listen, I do just want to say this. I got into a little bit of trouble last week. Well, listen, I don't know if we call it trouble, but Victoria and I did have a conversation about certain someone who may have perhaps overridden the agenda of the podcast with their own tales of possums and all this kind of shit.
Well, we need a possum update.
I don't know who that was. Maybe it was me. I'm trying to throw this back to Victoria to say, let Victoria steer us with her agenda. She's like got the conch. Should have the conch.
Well, before we get to that, I just want to introduce a new segment. It's called Crypto Corner.
No, I've got the conch. Biggie's got the conch. Smash my glasses. Go on, smash them with your kettlebell. I don't care. No crypto.
Crypto chat.
Sourdough.
Okay. What the people really want is a possum update. How many Stephs came to your house? Bunsen, go.
Okay, all right. It's been a roller coaster of a week for that possum.
Is it even alive, please?
Yes. Okay, so just breathe one big breathe out, Caroline. I know you've been holding that all week. What happened as a small recap is that I saw a baby possum on the road, didn't know what to do, called my friend who has consented to be named. Her name's Maz. She wants credit. Because what actually happened was that Maz very capably scooped her up. I basically said to her, I can't look after this possum. Maz kept the possum alive overnight.
She's a wonder.
Then returned it to me, right? And then Steph came around to get the possum. This woman, Steph being from Wires, and she praises me extensively for all that I have done for this small, delicate little marsupial who, if it wasn't for me, would not be alive.
It wasn't you, though, was it?
I did not give Maz the credit in that conversation. I said, yeah, thanks. I could see she really needed.
You stole Maz's possum thunder.
Extra attention.
You're a possum pretender.
Not only did I do that, but I told Maz that.
That's just out and out wrong.
Okay, so then.
That's uncouth. Then, that is uncouth.
Okay, yeah, all right. Well, I'm trying to make amends. But basically what happened was that Steph took the possum, okay? Steph is unaware that I did not actually keep the possum alive, that it was Maz. But she is treating me as if I am, like, I'm pretty sure she's trying to recruit me to be another volunteer. She's been giving me blow-by-blow updates on the possum's welfare. So basically, the possum, we now know it's a she.
Nice.
She ended up at quite an expensive veterinary clinic the following day because it was noticed that she was not moving one of her back legs. They anaesthetized her, gave her an x-ray. Turns out she does not have a broken leg, but may have a spinal injury.
Poor little creature.
So now Steph has been giving the possum rehab twice a day. I don't know what rehab is. I have speculated, is it kind of, you know, like you see in rehab, like is the possum on those kind of two horizontal poles, learning how to walk again? Like what does the rehab, is it just soothing massage? What does the rehab involve? I kind of still want Steph to think that I know what the rehab is. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But the possum is currently back at the vet because the leg is still not moving. And I'm kind of feel that now could be a time to just, we don't know what will happen with that possum.
Is this the last possum update we'll get?
It could be the last possum update we'll get, but I have to say that I've seen such a dedication to this possum's welfare that it would not surprise me if the possum stayed living with Steph with its disability.
Wow.
Or is this all a cover? You know, is rehab code for drug addiction? Has this possum fallen on hard times?
Oh, my goodness.
Is that why you found the possum fallen in the gutter?
I did kind of like point out when I spoke to Maz about the fact that the possum couldn't move its leg, I did point out to her that that could have been one of the reasons why she was so deftly able to pick it up. But no, it wasn't because of that. It was because of her extreme expertise at handling animal handling.
Look, I think your community work is really astounding. I'm very impressed, even if that is, you know, setting up sort of the equivalent of a safe injecting room for a possum. I think that we can all say that there has been a lot of love and care in the community.
And I've been taking a lot of credit for that, and I'll continue doing so.
All right. I've got a little game for us.
Oh, cool. I love games.
All right. Two truths and a lie. Do we understand this game?
No. Love it. Yeah, every drama class, you gotta do it.
I don't understand the game.
You explain the rules, Caroline.
You tell two truths and a lie and we have to guess which one is which, like which one's true and which one's a lie.
Okay.
So it's an acting game, really. Oh, good luck.
I didn't know
I'm
that.
Sure that Caroline would be very good at this one.
Booyah.
Oh, no, I guess it is. It is an acting game.
Well, I tried to say it was an acting game in the classes I taught. I just wanted to get people's dirty laundry and then blackmail them with that on.
All right. Which crime did I narrowly avoid committing recently?
Bum ruching.
Oh, that's a social crime, sorry. Not an actual okay. crime. You should sorry. Know that as a lawyer, sorry. Legal expert.
She's not a lawyer. Okay. She's not a lawyer.
Excuse me, you did not specify, Victoria, if you were talking about social or legal. So just saying.
Which petty crime, low-level, wow, I'm on the ropes yeah. here. All right, jaywalking, getting within 50 metres of a dolphin or public urination?
Ooh, they're tough because I can see you doing all of them, maybe even at the same time.
Okay, I would say that jaywalking we can just chuck out because that's just a distractor because she's filling it up with something else.
Yeah, you don't jaywalk in Adelaide. Okay. There's just too many amenities.
Okay. Hang on. I'm really confused. Two truths and a lie.
Yeah, so you just have to
pick the lie. Jaywalking's the lie. Jaywalking's the lie.
She urinated in public next to a dolphin. Definitely.
She urinated in public to attract a dolphin.
No, you're wrong. I am a mad jaywalker, although, Caroline, you are right. People in Adelaide don't jaywalk, but I do. But I had like a moment of inspiration. I was about to jaywalk. I looked across the street because I was actually at a crossing, but it just wasn't green yet.
Wasn't going your and way, but you were going to make it go your way.
There were probably no cars. There might also be that.
There were no cars. But I saw police on the other side and I was ooh. Like, maybe now's not the time to like do something like in front of their face that is considered like a criminal act. So I decided not to jaywalk and some businessman right in front of me did jaywalk and he got
no
done.
No way. I've never seen anyone nick for jaywalking. Like, I just thought that was, I mean, 8 times out of 10, I'm jaywalking. What do you get for jaywalking? I want to know, lawyer, what do you get for jaywalking?
I prefer to take this conversation in a different realm, a more etymological, if that's a word, realm. Why is it called jaywalking? Who was Jay?
No idea.
Because I think Jay was strutting across the road like he don't give a damn.
Is it Jay, short for walking yourself straight to jail, mate? Yeah, criminal.
So it's actually just J as in the letter J, yeah. Hyphen, slash. Walking.
That's right. But you get so quickly yeah. taken to jail that you don't get time to say the L. So it's just J. You're Nick, buddy.
But it was so satisfying because I always jaywalk and I'm like, I'm going to get done. And I didn't. And that guy got done right in front of me and it was the greatest. Wow. So, you know.
I think that's a bit of schadenfreude there, Victoria. I mean, why are you taking pleasure in someone getting punished for doing something that you do, by your own admission, every day?
No, well, generally speaking, if I hadn't been about to do it myself, it'd be like no big deal. But because I saw him acting out my thought process, right, so it was like a sliding doors moment. So I've basically avoided criminality and I got to see the consequences play out for me in real time. It was like, you know, choose your own adventure. Which way did I go? I chose the right path, Bunsen.
Wow. Well, I suppose there's a first for everything.
So that means I also did get within 50 metres of a dolphin.
Yeah, I want to know about that. What happened?
Well, I was at the beach.
That's lucky. Obviously. For the dolphin. That's lucky for the dolphin.
And I saw a fin and it was flicking around and it actually was very close to shore because there was like a sandbar that made it kind of deep and then shallow again, right? So it's in the kind of deep bit. And I was like, is that a shark? Of course I get in for a closer look and I realize it's a dolphin.
Investigative journalist, everyone, straight to the story, martyring herself for truth.
I have actually been in croc-infested waters for a story before, but that's a tale for another time. So that means I did not publicly urinate, which is a surprise given the state of most of our pelvic floors that we could be publicly urinating at any time and no one would ever know.
Caroline virtually publicly urinated before. I mean, she told us about the content of her bathroom floor while she was urinating. So there you go. I mean, that's a kind of like a hybrid sort of situation.
Yeah. I mean, this is a public forum-ish, so...
I enjoy it. It keeps you in the moment. It keeps you present. You're like, oh, my pants are wet. Are they wet? Oh, maybe they are wet. Oh, no, I'm listening. I'm here. I'm alive. Yeah. I'm alive, everyone. I have a body. It leaks. I'm here.
It's the ultimate in mindfulness.
Thank you.
How's everyone's pelvic floor going? Maybe that's the – we need a little pelvic floor check-in weekly.
I don't know because I don't know how to control it. I don't even know where it is. Anyone tells me to do any exercises, I just stand there looking sort of blank off into the middle distance and they go, yep, you're doing it. And that – no. I'm not sticking toothbrushes up there to see – exactly. I'm not sticking anything up there to like test it because I know you can get little devices. I'm not getting that.
I always vow that I'm going to do Kegels like – they never happen.
I'm doing it right now. Can you tell?
Yeah, because your chin's going. No. No, I do know someone who apparently there's an app that you can get where you can put something, you can insert something that has that recognizes Bluetooth and basically you can steer stuff on your phone with your pelvic floor. And so essentially play.
You can Bluetooth your fanny.
Yeah. So you essentially, you play video games.
Fuck's sake. That's too far. And
it's gamifying it.
Yeah.
I love it.
But, you know, for certain personalities, this works very well. So for this particular person, you know, they are someone who really needs to be able to measure themselves perhaps in relation to other people. The competition really worked. And so she
need data.
Exactly.
Points.
And so she could see how much she was improving, whatever. Anyway, I haven't got the app. I haven't got the anyway.
Let it go. You live near the beach anyway. Just go down into the water, into the ocean. God's toilet, they call it.
All right. Well, and have you guys narrowly avoided or have you committed any petty crimes recently? Anything to confess?
I've wet my pants a few times on stage in front of very influential directors and been standing in a puddle of my own wee, run off stage, got a napkin. It might have been someone's actual handkerchief, which was a prop, went on stage, quickly wiped it off, got back off again.
And wow. Is this the first time you're revealing it? Did they ever notice it?
Well, no one noticed. They did think it was slightly weird that I ran on stage, but it was one of those shows where little servants were running on, kind of doing things, silly things to move props. But a huge, big physical sequence was going to happen where they're going to build a mountain out of tables, and it was actually a safety hazard. And I could see my wee in a puddle in the middle of the rehearsal room floor. I just thought, someone's going to slip in my urine and maybe possibly die. I'm going to run out. I'm just going to grab it. I'm going to clean it and get
off. They could have signed a waiver before the rehearsals that says,
you're working with Caroline Craig.
You're working with Caroline Craig. Watch out. There's a lot, the waterworks situation, puddles, the puddles, whatever. Like, you know, and do it at your own risk, basically.
At your own risk.
Sorry, I don't know how we got to that. I'm
concerned about the state of your pelvic floor. Was this pre-childbirth?
I was playing a character that had a sort of strange limp. It didn't necessarily need a limp, but I'd added that, you know, to get a bit of attention from the director. I thought, I need to differentiate these characters. And I thought maybe she'd been shot in the war. You know, it was a Hitchcock sort of thing, and I was dragging my leg. But it took me so long to get across the stage, I was stuffing up all my cues. I then had to hold a gun and go, stop right there, and like I was, and then go bang, bang, bang. And as I went bang, bang, bang and shot David Campbell, who's brilliant, everyone laughed, and then I just, yeah. I wasn't wearing the right underwear, guys. I was wearing lacy knickers and just a skirt, and just nothing was there. There was nothing. I had nothing going.
And may as well have been crotchless.
Everyone's looking at me going, move, move, move. You've got to get off the stage. You've got to get off the stage. And I just couldn't. I just froze because I could feel warmth down my legs.
Oh, Caroline, that sounds awful. Can I ask two questions? One is, seeing as you were at liberty to add in a limp, did you think about adding in a ailing pelvic floor into your character?
And then an adult nappy.
And then secondly, what was the trigger? Like, I mean, haha, I know you were shooting a gun, but like,
it was me shouting. So I've got such a strong diaphragm, it presses down onto my, I've been told.
Because you're like so trained.
Stop right there. Don't you dare move. And, you know, sometimes they say, was it the size of a 20-cent piece? No, it was the size of a broadsheet newspaper. That's what it was that week.
Did you frighten yourself? Was that like a fear response? You scared yourself so much.
Apparently I was holding on too tight, a physio told me. I'm holding on to it too tightly that then when you shout, it all, like, something's got to give. Boom, floodgates, dam busters, it all goes. And but the show's got to go on. There's really tight musical cues. There's a lot of things happening. People, a whole show is trying to happen. I wasn't even meant to be in this show. I was just understudying a brilliant actor. I didn't have any place there. You know, there's no dignity in this game, guys. There's no dignity.
As is evidenced by your current disclosures.
Yeah. But the thing was, I didn't need to tell anyone about the wee, right? I very deftly, bang, ran backstage, grabbed a hanky, wipe, wipe, wipe. It may have been the hanky that poor David Campbell had to use in the next scene. I don't know. I tried to replace it with the tissue, but then I was so mortified. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever done this. You do something mortifying and then you feel like you have to anecdotalize it in some way.
I think that's what this entire podcast is about. I would say that that is what our entire friendship is based on, isn't it?
Yeah. Be free.
Pretty much my entire personality.
Yeah, don't
the
worry
agonies
about
of the present are the great funny stories of the future. Is that it?
I really honestly feel that that is pretty much most of my conversation is just kind of going this really embarrassing thing. Yeah.
Yeah, brazening it out. That's how you get over it.
If you laugh at it, then it means that others are laughing with you, not at you. Well, that's what I think, but actually, yeah. It's
taking
not actually
the power back.
Then I ran around telling everyone, and no one needed to know that. They just wanted to get on with the show.
They all know it now. So, well, listen, we've been yanging on telling embarrassing stories about our pelvic floor for almost long enough, but there's just one last thing that I want to raise, so uncouth of the week. Rupert Murdoch.
Not again.
Is engaged. Now.
Oh, yes. For the, what, sixth time or?
That's correct.
Caroline, well done.
I was reading that paper for a while.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's 93. He recently had a birthday, happy birthday, Uncle Rupert. He was 92 at the time of the engagement. It would be his fifth marriage. Now, I thought it was prurient for us to sit on this for a minute because he might have died in the intervening time, and he still may die before this goes out. So if he does, RIP, Rupes. He also disposed of a previous fiancé, like his fifth fiancé, because she was too much of a happy clappy, so the rumours say. Allegedly, she was too evangelical for his liking. But listen, Bunsen, I just want to clear up the rumours because he is engaged to a Russian scientist.
Yeah, I heard that. Like a biomolecular something.
Her name is Yelena Zhukova.
Oh.
And I just want to clear up the rumors in the Kuth community that it is not, in fact, you, as you deny your links to the scientific community.
Listen, I do feel that this is one of those situations where if I deny it too much, it's the kind of thing where it's going to start, you know, like.
It leaves a seed of doubt.
Gaining
the lady
traction. Exactly. Because, yeah, perhaps something that would put it to bed is asking me to say something in Russian.
What does a Russian person say when they want to say yes? Oh, my God, you don't know that? Or are you playing possum? Da!
The wedding vows would have gone well.
Smoke and mirrors, mate, smoke and mirrors.
Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you, Victoria. Is that what you're trying to? You are wearing a bit of leopard print, I notice.
How dare you?
There's a slight flare. There's a bit of Eastern European flare.
And also the hair. Yeah.
Listen, I've seen him in the flesh.
Have you?
Let's just say.
When did you meet Rupert Murdoch?
Oh, yeah. I didn't
meet
him.
You used to work for him, mate.
Oh, that's right. She was her boss.
When I worked for the evil empire, as I like to call it, he walked past my desk, right, as I had.
Did you wet your pants?
No, good. Close.
Did you tell him you wet your pants?
No. I had just dipped a spoon into a jar of peanut butter and I had the spoon hanging out of my mouth. I must have looked like the dumbest person alive, like a complete yokel going, eh. And then, just sitting there with like a spoon hanging out of my mouth and like, you know, that peanut butter stuck to everything, just looking gormlessly at a computer. Yeah.
The part that shocks me about this is that for approximately two decades, you've given me shit about eating spoonfuls of peanut butter.
No, you're addicted to peanut butter, Bunsen, and it's different.
No. But you know what? I may be addicted to peanut butter. I may not be addicted to peanut butter, but I have never in public, in an office, in what I presume is an open plan office if Rupes was walking past.
Yeah, Uncle
Rupert. Stuck a spoon in a jar of peanut butter and then essentially had my mouth open, agog, filled with the pasty peanut.
Listen,
I have never done that. And you have for two decades, you have given me shit about this whole peeny butt business. I am shocked. I am shocked that you would do this in public.
Like, no, but
honestly,
listen.
She tells anecdotes about the time when she caught me in a pantry. Honestly, I am gobsmacked.
Were you able to converse with him with the peanut butter in your mouth? Because that is a very dry and sticky substance. Like,
could have gone, great peeny butter.
My column's going really well. Oh, it's crunchy.
I'm pretty sure. He either couldn't see me because he's so old or he just like politely looked away and thought, why the fuck am I paying that girl's wages? Like, what? And you know what? Fair. Anyway, so yes, Bunsen, I have dined out on the fact that I busted you in the pantry of a house in Surrey Hills, hoofing into peanut butter. Remember, you lived there too, Caroline.
Did she steal my peanut butter? It's all coming out. It's all coming out of the closet or the pantry, so to say.
It's like a moth to a flame. She blames the possum for going to rehab. I think we know who really needs to go
to
rehab.
That's right.
Anyway, what I want to know is if your dad is 93 and getting engaged for the sixth time, what would you say is an appropriate present?
Well, in my family, there's not a lot of sentimentality. So there probably wouldn't actually even be a gift is what I'm saying.
Well, not for the sixth time.
Even probably for the first or second.
Got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's a good thing, because I once sat in a conversation with my mother and someone else, and this other person was telling both of us about all of the wonderful things that her daughter had done for her for Mother's Day. And I sort of said, well, I think in our family, we don't really do anything for Mother's Day, because it's kind of just like a bit of a sort of corporate capitalist construct. It doesn't really mean anything, right? Mm. And my mom I will never forget the look on her face. It was just, and she just looked at me and she just looked at me. And then after a really long silence, she just kind of went, just even a call would be nice. And it really made me kind of think about quite a lot of things.
You wrote her a song. I remember that.
I have. Yeah. Let's go. Oh.
Mother.
No.
New identifying. Shut it down.
But all I'm saying is it really made me reevaluate a culture of gift giving, etc., gratitude, all of that stuff. But what I'm saying is that despite that reevaluation, it's pretty safe to say there would be no gift.
What about some adult nappies?
I think that's a gift I could give to you tomorrow.
I think it's very romantic, and I think it's a great belief, really, in the institution of marriage.
What would you give, Victoria?
I would literally just be sending a couple of emojis and waiting for the whole thing to fall apart. Like, I think what tickles me most is that there is a rumour, allegedly, that his ex-fiancée, who he dumped after finding out she was an evangelical Christian, allegedly, he then... Look, this is a rumour. People may be just drawing the dots on X, formerly known as Twitter, that he then fired her favourite on-air host, Tucker Carlson, as an act of petty revenge. And that, I think, is the real lesson, that a man in his 90s can still be petty as shit.
Got nothing to lose, mate.
Wow.
I mean, he's got a lot to lose.
I think I would go and get him the armour that Henry VIII wore and just say, you know, stay strong.
You've got a lot of whys to get through.
That's not appropriate.
I know.
Well, on that note, I think we've probably so uncouthed for long enough this week. If you want to get in touch, it's souncouthpod@gmail.com. Tell us your own pelvic floor stories. We welcome them. And on that note, copies later.
Bye.
Ciao.